Welcome to the Hugh Jackson Show, brought to you by State Farm. Nathan's girl, alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. Coach, so close last week. That was the one that it really felt like it was going to happen. You could feel the energy in the building. What does this team have to do to finish a game and get that win?
Well, you just said it, finish. I think there are some plays at the end of the game that we had opportunities to make that we didn't, whether it was offense, defense, or special teams. And I just think as a team, I did a really good job of really bringing that to their attention again. I think our players get it. I think we're trying our tails off to do it. We just have to find a way to make those plays in those critical moments.
Let's talk about DeShone Kizer. Completed over 70% of his passes, quarterback rating of 100, both career highs, three touchdowns, also a career high. I know that there were a couple hiccups in there, but was that the best that you've seen from DeShone Kizer this year?
No question. I think it was the best statistical game that he had. And obviously, he'll be the first to tell you there were still some plays he left out there on the field. But he's got to continue to grow from this. You know, I still think there's better in there, and he's got to keep chasing it.
Was that encouraging to you, though, to go back and think about, you're playing the Ravens this week, what he looked like in week two, the young man that was the quarterback of that team, and then what that quarterback was this past week against the Packers?
Oh, absolutely. That means that the process is working. We just needed to work more consistently. You know, he needs to come back this week and play as well as he's played all year, and then it would really give everything we're doing some validity.
Isaiah Crowell, his first 100-yard rushing game of the season. He's been over 90 now in three of the last five. What's been the key to success for him in that ground game?
I think he's just getting after it. And I think the offensive line is doing a great job of creating lanes for him to run in. We're calling it more. We've handed him the ball, and he's done well.
On one hand, this was a defense without five of the 11 starters who held the Packers to 7 points, basically into the fourth quarter. On the other hand, they were able to make that comeback in the game. Mm-hmm. What was your big takeaway from the defensive performance?
Well, I think the start, like you said, was really good. I think in the middle was really good. It's just like the rest of our football team. We got to finish at the end. You know, when it matters most, when these other teams start to figure you out a little bit and know where you're hurting a little bit, they start attacking those places. And that's no excuse. That's just life in the National Football League. That's what good teams do. And we have to do everything we can to just put a Band-Aid on those things as much as we can so that we can finish the game.
Now, one area you talked about finishing earlier, it was in the red zone for the offense. We never were finishing in the red zone. Well, in this game, three different red zone passing touchdowns finishing. Let's take a look at two of those in the Papa John's play breakdown.
Kizer to throw, looking, Gordon up in the air. What a catch! Touchdown! He is back at First Energy Stadium. Josh Gordon with a leaping grab.
All right, Coach, let's take a look at this first touchdown. DeShone Kizer, Josh Gordon, 2nd and 7 on the 18. What were you looking to get here? And we'll talk about this motion here that really, I think, sets the play up.
Right. Well, what we're trying to do again, we're trying to go back to our 4-vertical scheme because I think DeShone's done a really good job of understanding it. So we took Randall Telfer and motioned him outside of Josh Gordon up top to make the defense move. It was going to tell us real quickly if they were going to be single high or too high, which then gives DeShone an idea of where this ball can go.
All right, so let's see it unfold. A beautiful ball, dime over the linebacker, great catch.
And as you can see, him and David both are slightly bending inside, and that's what they're supposed to do because they're supposed to come underneath the safety's face.
And they do that, and it's a touchdown, Browns. So when you get a real good look at this one from the end zone angle, a little dancing there.
A little dance.
All right, so I got to ask you, when you pause it, when they're about at the 10-yard line, would you wanted the ball to go to David at that point?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because obviously we're trying to influence the linebacker with the running back. As you see, the linebacker opens to the back, and he is turned. So DeShone has a decision to make. Do I throw the ball to David or do I throw the ball to Josh? And I think because he's right-handed and exactly where the linebacker was positioned at, he felt like he could get this ball there, which he did, threw a great ball. And obviously that's a great catch by Josh, and it's a touchdown.
I think throwing the ball to Josh Gordon, not really a bad idea.
Absolutely.
So we'll go ahead and now here's one that I'm sure you've been waiting to dial up for a while as we go to the next play.
Okay.
From the 7. And I know you've been working on this one for a while, the shovel pass. Walk us through what you were hoping for and what you got initially. And by the way, you get Ha-Ha Clinton Dix not paying attention, which is always a good thing.
Well, I think the starting point for us is we want quarters or cover two shell because it allows us, again, to give the defense an illusion that we're going to do something while doing something else. This is our shovel pass series, but we also have the ability to hand the ball to Crow. So what the quarterback's doing, he's reading this defensive end over here on the right. And if the defensive end is up the field, then we will shovel the ball to Duke. If the defensive end chases down inside, we'll hand the ball to Crow, and he'll run around the corner. So it has some option to it a little bit. So as you can see, DeShone pulls the ball. Here comes the pulling guard in Batonio. And look at this lane. I mean, is that sensational or what?
That's good. He knows it right away.
Absolutely.
He knows right away. You're like, here, this guy gets excited. Who's that guy up there getting excited for
there
you?
He
I
is.
Don't know who that
is.
Yeah, like that touchdown Browns. But that's obviously, that's the fun stuff. And I know you as a play caller, you love dialing those things up and then seeing them get executed. You look from the end zone view. Absolutely perfect. And a lot of people could get in the end zone.
There's no doubt.
There.
Now,
nice lane.
Now, people don't know this. Here's the beautiful part of this. Watch Sean Coleman on the flip. And watch the
Boom.
Hands. There
Touchdown.
It is.
There it is. All right. And we'll be back with more of the Hugh Jackson Show right after this. Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, Matt Wilhelm catches up with Corey Coleman to talk about his second TD catch of the season.
I think this is the best game we've played all year. And, you know, we have four games left. We're like, let's make these four games the funnest and the best four games of our life.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zagura, Coach Jackson, Coach Corey Coleman came back in a big way this week against the Green Bay Packers. Was that a point of emphasis for you in the game plan to make sure you got number 19 going?
You know, it was. And I go into every game with Corey, Josh, David, all these guys, trying to make sure they touch the ball early and often if we can. I think other teams know that, and they do everything they can to take them away. But it was Corey's opportunity, and he made some plays and did a good job.
Made a big play down on a third and two at the goal line. Tough touchdown catch. He talks about that and much, much more with our Matt Wilhelm in the Northeast Ohio BMW Center's play walkthrough.
Hey, it's Matt Wilhelm here with Browns starting wide receiver Corey Coleman. Another tough loss last week, but just talk about what it was like for you to get back in the end zone since it's been, you know what, about 13 weeks since you scored a touchdown.
It's pretty exciting, you know. When Coach Hugh called the play, pre-snap, I seen the coverage. So I ran a little slant route, act like I was running a fade, and I slipped underneath the corner. And Deshaun just happened to finally disconnect it. I thought Duke was going to get the ball because he ran a little to the pylon, one-on-one coverage, but I think it was the safety or linebacker. I'm like, okay, this is for sure going to Duke. And then when I seen Deshaun like look at me, I'm like, oh, snaps is coming to me.
Duke Johnson slot right, Coleman wide right, three receivers left. Kaiser shotgun takes the snap, looks right, drops deeper, throws into the end zone, caught at the goal line, touchdown, it's Coleman!
A nice job of hanging on to the ball by Coleman because he got racked.
And how about Deshaun, you know, to finally have, you know, yourself healthy, to have Josh Gordon healthy. What is his excitement throughout the week and his preparation to be able to go out and know that he's got some legitimate weapons that can score a lot of points for this football team?
Exactly. You know, he did a good job this week spreading the ball around, getting me and Josh the ball. I think this is the best game he played all year, and he looked really good. You know, you can tell he's comfortable, like, okay, you know, I can don't have to throw the ball perfect, you know, just throw it up there to me or Josh, and we expect, you know, to make a big play.
Not only did you score a touchdown, Josh Gordon scored a touchdown, and I'd be remiss to ask, where'd this whole sunglass idea come from? Was it your idea, Josh's idea?
We talked about it, like, as a receiver unit, you know. But we didn't think, like, we were going to actually do it until, like, he got the game time. Bryce Trex had the glasses on. He was like...
The Bryce's glasses?
Yeah, I think they're Bryce or Ricardo Lewis.
I was going to ask where they came from.
But Bryce had them on the whole time. He's like, these are touchdown glasses. And it was just like, it was exciting, you know, bringing, you know, fun to the party. Just like, hey, you know, we have four games left. We're like, let's make these four games the funnest and the best four games of our life.
And you're going to have your last game at First Energy Stadium against another familiar opponent. Just talk about the challenge that the Baltimore Ravens defense is going to give to you and to know, going back to last year, one of your most successful games as a Brown came against this football team.
Right. They know us. They know, you know, the players they've faced us. And they're a good defense, you know. I got a lot of credit to their D coordinator and the guys over there. So, you know, we got to come in and, you know, work, and we got to take this serious. And, you know, we got to get better because, you know, this is a big-time game. This is a division game. You always want to win, you know, division game.
Absolutely. Well, Corey, good luck. Stay healthy. And good luck against those Ravens.
Thank you.
Got it.
Coach Corey Coleman, three more games this year to really kind of improve and show that he can be an elite receiver in the NFL, drafted in the middle of the first round. We know that's the expectation. What is it that he needs to improve on in these 3 weeks? Is it consistency, making big plays? What, from your standpoint, have you said, Corey, do this, and you're going to be one of those elite guys?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the consistency of making these plays when he gets the opportunities, and I think continuing to make big plays. I mean, the saying in the National Football League is you run to win, but you throw to score. So, and that was really evident this past week. You know, we threw the football and scored some touchdowns. And he was a part of that. He needs to continue to make those plays.
Yeah, making plays, and a guy who makes a lot of plays on defense, Christian Kirksey, up next on the Hugh Jackson Show. Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, Dustin Fox sits down with the captain of the defense, Christian Kirksey.
I think that our chemistry is growing, and it's something that's definitely exciting. I know our record doesn't show it. You know, we're taking great strides, and I feel like we're going to be just fine.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. Coach, Christian Kirksey has been a guy who's been an emotional leader of this team. He leads with his play and then leads in the locker room after the games. I'm sure he wanted to be the guy to make that play that secured the victory. What was his message to this team after the game?
Keep fighting. You know, he's been outstanding all year. He's a true fighter, and he's a true Cleveland Brown. We drafted him here. He is one of the big leaders of this football team and the leader of the football team. I think he's done an outstanding job of trying to drag everybody over this fence with him, not just only by talking, but how he plays. And I think he's got to continue to do so, and I believe he will. But I, more than anything, and I know the coaching staff does too, we want to get a win for this young man because he's done anything and everything we've asked of him.
Yeah, back-to-back season with over 100 tackles, really a spiritual leader on this team. You can see that. And he's with our Dustin Fox in the Universal Windows Player Spotlight.
Dustin Fox here with Browns linebacker Christian Kirksey. Kirko, so close, man.
Yeah, we was close. You know, it just shows the fight and the guys that we have on this team. Shows the character of the men that we have on the team. And, you know, for us, you know, we just got to keep chopping that wood, man.
Christian, let's talk a little bit about the defense. You guys have played, I thought, better as the weeks have gone on. And the thing is, you guys have been without starters. You know, you were down 3 starters on Sunday against the Packers, and I think it speaks volumes to guys like you and what Greg's been able to do. Talk about the defense and where you guys are at right now.
I think that we're getting closer as a unit, as a brotherhood. We're starting to understand each other more and more. You just tell, like, these guys in this locker room, you know, we're a tight family. I think that our chemistry is growing, and it's something that's definitely exciting. I know our record doesn't show it, you know, the wins or losses or whatever, but, you know, we're taking great strides, and I feel like we're going to be just fine.
What is it going to take to get over that hump?
I always tell guys, you know, if you're on the field and you left everything you had on the field, you play with no regrets, then, you know, the wins will come, you know. We just got to stay together, keep fighting, stay the course, stay the process, believe in the coaches, believe in this organization. Just continue to fight, and one day the win will come. And don't know when. Hopefully it's this week. But you know, just being a leader on this team, I just keep encouraging guys. Man, you just got to keep going, just keep moving forward, and you know, something to shape for us. So.
Christian, tell me about what you do outside of football.
I've been trying to show the world that I'm a musician. I've been playing the drums since I was 7 years old. On my spare time, you know, I just like to go to the music store. You know, grab my prayer headphones, putting some of my favorite songs in there and just rocking out, man. You know, that's kind of like a meditation, relaxation thing for me. Just, you know, showing that you can do, you know, more than just football. And I feel like, you know, once I, you know, engage more with the fans and, you know, show them the music side, you know, that personality, show them the sports side, you know, show them the dance and the things like that, you know, you grow your fan base, and then, you know, they mess with you even more.
Christian, last year you had the picture, you held the sign, I want a win for Christmas.
Yeah.
We gonna get one?
Yeah, we're gonna get one.
What's it gonna take?
It's gonna just take, you know, all the guys, man, just focus. We need to bring one to the city. The fans definitely deserve it. You know, we just gotta keep chopping that wood, but, you know, I think we're gonna get one.
Coach, when you put up the numbers that Christian Kirksey has, you show the leadership that he has. He's on his way to being one of those great AFC North linebackers. What's the next step for him to get there?
keep leading this team to victory. You know, I think he's the quarterback of the defense somewhat, along with some other guys, and obviously our quarterback as well on offense. But I think for Kirko, I think what's important is he wants to get a win. And I think once he can help his teammates secure victory, will he truly be the unsung leader of this football team?
Yeah, well, he's got an opportunity this weekend against the Ravens, and we preview that game when the Hugh Jackson Show returns. Finally, it's the Ravens game preview brought to you by Universal Windows Direct. Back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zegura alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. Coach, time now for our Universal Windows game preview. It's the Browns. The Ravens come in at 7-6, really on the strength of this defense. 20 interceptions, second lowest quarterback rating allowed. Is this the best pass defense we face? And I know Jacksonville, it's either them or Jacksonville, so they're maybe right there in that same league.
They are. You know, they have a combination of guys who can rush the passer and guys who can defend the receiver. So, they're a well-put-together defensive football team. They're well-coached. These guys, they play with a chip on their shoulder, and they understand how to play the Raven way. So we have our work cut out for us, but we're looking forward to the challenge.
Two older guys, Terrell Suggs, 11 sacks, third in the NFL. Eric Weddle, 5 interceptions, third in the NFL. Do they have the fountain of youth there? How are these guys continuing to play at such a high level?
Well, both of these guys are tremendous football players. I think they're very passionate about playing the game. I think they have a love for the game. They've obviously worked extremely hard in the offseason to put themselves in position to have the seasons that they've had. I'm not surprised by anything either one of them done, having competed against them for so long. They've been some of the best at their position. So Baltimore is very fortunate to have both of these players on their team.
Alex Collins, a guy that was really kind of an afterthought when the Browns played the Ravens in Week 2, and now has become really the centerpiece of their offense. He scored in 4 straight games. Is that the biggest difference you see in their offense on tape when you watch early in the year to now?
Oh, absolutely. I think that coupled with the fact that I think Joe Flacco's a little bit more comfortable. You know, when we played him earlier, he hadn't practiced much. Now he's gotten some games under his system, some practice time, and the young runner is really playing well for him.
And they just put up 38 last week. When you watch that tape, I mean, that was kind of an eye-opener on both sides of the ball, an unbelievable old-style shootout. What did you see when you really broke into that game, the Ravens and the Steelers, 39-38?
Absolutely. Well, that number is pretty high.
Yeah, on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. You normally don't think that's going to happen that way. But at the same time, you see that they have some explosive players on their offensive football team, led by their quarterback, talking about Joe Flacco, who can make some plays. So we have to do a great job of limiting that as much as we can. And again, in order to assist our defensive football team, we got to make some plays on offense as well.
When you talk to the team this week, I'm sure the message, we got to find a way to get this win. Last opportunity in front of the home fans. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we can basically end the season for a team in our division that we don't like very much. Is this game, you know, as big as we've played in a while?
No, it is. You know, every game we play as we come down to the end gets bigger and bigger for our guys, and that within itself is something to work through and to teach them, because this is a teaching moment for them as well. We know where we are in our schedule and our scores right now, but I think it's really important. You just said it. I mean, we want to end some dreams too, you know, and what better way than to beat the Baltimore Ravens here at home?
It certainly would be great. Coach, we thank you so much for the time. Best of luck on Sunday against the Ravens.
Thank you for having me.
All right, remember, get ready for the game on Sunday, 11 a.m. Browns countdown on News 5, getting you set for the Browns and the Ravens playing the role of spoiler, hopefully, against an AFC North foe. Thanks for being with us on another edition of the Hugh Jackson Show.